Okay, then as you go higher and higher, it says the army of the voice will no longer be heard. Did anybody define, know what the army of the voice is?
The Devas.
We know you know.
What's the question?
What is the army of the voice? Let me hear that. Okay, tell him, Ed.
Well, there's this entire chain of evolution that's parallel to the human chain that includes the elemental essence, the Devas, the angels, and the archangels.
Right. And when you invoke the assistance of the unseen worlds, you put certain entities in motion. They hear your words, and that's why your words have to be so honest and truthful, because they will help you manifest whatever you desire. And this is called the army of the voice.
These are the builders.
The builders. They build your creation out of your voice. And they hear your voice, and they are the army of your voice.
They act upon your thoughts. You can't afford a negative thought.
Right.
Curtis, is that what happens when you pray?
Yeah.
In other words, when you pray and you say, you know, please help me because, you know, I need help with something, or
It's better not to pray in that way. It's better to be thankful for what's already been given to you, because when you say,
and I do that too.
Please help me for what I don't have. You're affirming that you don't have something.
No, I never pray for anything like that. I'll pray for like a family member that's, you know, real sick or something like that.
I think the power of visualization is very important. You act as if, and like you said, you visualize them being whole, perfect, and complete.
Okay. You see
them in their perfect condition, and you give no thought or no power to the appearance world.
We're going to cover that in just a second. That's exactly correct.
Now, because I'm not sure.
Well, we're going to cover that in just a second. So as you go up into the OM and you leave behind the AUM and you're ascending back up into spirit, certain voices fade out. You no longer hear the army of the voice. You no longer need them to help you create in the material worlds, because you're leaving your connections to the material worlds. Putting in the idea into esoteric terms, the above sentence could be paraphrased as follows: the voices and the voice fade out. The AUM is replaced by the OM, and at the center of that OM, the brother stands. So now we come to, this is him speaking here. You could have read it. We come now to the consideration of a subject which has always proved exceedingly difficult to students. The nature of the word, the AUM and its later developments, the OM, and the sound. Actually, the sound creates itself into the OM, which goes into the AUM, and then it goes back. So it reverberates up and down. Much confusion exists as to its significance or the necessity for its use. The phase of its recognition through which we are now passing is a purely exoteric one of accustoming the general public to the fact of his existence, brought about through 1. The constant use in all the Christian churches of the word, and this is a corruption of the
Amen.
Is the Amen, which is a Western corruption of the AUM. The AUM is here the lowest aspect of the originating sound, so it's going into matter. Through the emphasis laid in Masonry upon the lost word, thus subtly drawing the attention of humanity to the OM, the sound of the second aspect. And because there are a lot of groups out there that are using the OM. The soundest approach of that is the Masonic tradition, because it deals primarily with the world of meaning and with the phase of esoteric teaching. The use of the Amen in the ritual of the Christian church will eventually be discouraged, because it is basically a materialistic affirmation being usually regarded by the average churchgoer as setting a seal of divine approval upon his demand for the Almighty for protection, for better health, for the supply of physical necessities. All this is therefore related to the life of desire, of aspiration, of dualism. It involves the attitude of giver and recipient.
Just a curious question while you're talking about the amen. Who started it? Do you know the history of who started or who came up with that or translated that into the
maybe
Western
the Jewish religion?
Christian churches.
Not the Jewish.
Yeah.
We have amen. The Jewish religion.
Maybe the
you
Egyptians.
Have amen too?
In Hebrew?
I think, of course, I think we were first.
So the Greek were first?
No, the Hebrew, the
okay.
Jewish. I think so.
I think the amen is the same in a number of different languages, if I remember right, which is kind of interesting.
Kind of. Mm-hmm.
So it's a soft spot.
There's
a
little
origin somewhere, huh?
Yeah. Here's the clincher here of the AUM. And the amen are both of them an expression in sound of the principle of active intelligence in substance and as a divine manifestation, the third aspect, and have served human need in that phase of material and form development. I refer here also to the development of mind or the mental form. The personality as a whole, when perfected and brought under control of the soul, is the Word made flesh. That's when it's perfected. That's when the word is given its true value. Your body is given its true value. Then through alchemy, by using the sacred word of taking out, eliminating all of the negativity and the dross and the pain and all of the negatives, the fear, worry, guilt, doubt, and all of that they create in your physical expression are eliminated, then you become the Word made flesh, a true Son of God. In the physical world. Okay, so the sound, we talked about that, is the secret appellation of the one in whom we live and move and have our being, and who is known to the Great White Lodge through this name. The goal of the initiate is identification with all forms of divine life, so that he can know himself to be an integral part of the whole and can tune in on all states of divine awareness, knowing for himself, and not just theoretically, that they are also his own states of awareness. So you have to be able to connect with all the kingdoms of nature as if you're a part of them through the sound. He can then penetrate into the divine arcana of knowledge, share in the divine omnipresence, and at will express the divine omniscience and prepare himself to manifest in full consciousness the divine omnipotence. Okay. And then it goes on and talks about how we create a creative point of tension by using these sounds. The Om, the Word made flesh, creates a final point of tension. And the Om is faintly heard, so you're moving up. Then comes a point of tension from which the man eventually achieves liberation from the three worlds and stands as a free soul. He is then a point within a circle, the point indicating the point of tension from which he now works, the circle, the sphere of his self-initiated activity. This is the voice referred to in the biblical account of the Transfiguration. This voice says, "My beloved Son." So that's what we're after. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit about the group use of the word. From Letters on Occult Meditation, in group formation, the effect of the word is intensified. Provided the groups are correctly constituted or null and void, should the groups contain undesirable elements.
Okay.
Now,
which one?
Well, do you see any undesirable elements here in this crowd?
I don't know. We really worry about Annie over here.
Yeah. What shall we do? What shall we do? Weigh her in the balances and found her. We found her just fine. Okay. Yeah. But what about that Ruina back there? I don't know. She's pretty busy on her computer back there. If you can get past Lucy, you'll be okay. I think in this gathering, we've kind of weeded out everybody who's idly curious. There were a lot of those. They come and go. They're like fish that nibble, but don't really take the bait and get hooked. We've all taken the bait. We've all been hooked. And we've all dedicated ourselves at one point or another to service, to serve ourselves, each other, the planet, and be of service by the planetary arc in this group that's talked about. Here it says, this is cool. When correctly sounded, a strong current is set up that reaches the disciple or master responsible for the group, permitting the channel to be cleared and for the transmission of teaching. A vacuum is created between a group and those on the other side.
Now it says when correctly sounded, what sound are they talking about?
That's a good question. That's why we're going to do all of them.
Just to be safe.
We'll hit it right.
If all conditions are right, it likewise results in a linking with the egoic groups, or the egos in all of us, involved personalities, a stimulation of the causal body is involved. The causal body. That's anybody know what the causal body
that's
is?
The soul.
The soul.
Where is the causal body found in your psyche?
In the mind, plane of the mind.
The higher mind, right, the higher mind and the soul. It creates a body of causes for the soul to use in creating causation in the material worlds.
Got three rows of petals.
Yeah. Good. So everybody knows what a causal body is now. It's the body of the soul.
Body of causes.
Yeah, body of causes.
Body that can create causes.
Right. Because the causal point is really your divine self, the part of you that's God, that had the big bang or the explosion. That's the body of causes too, or the causal point. So it links the egoic group, the causal bodies, and the brotherhood in a triangle of the transmission of force. See, unless you're doing egoic work and using the sacred sounds in a group with higher purpose, nothing will happen. Since you can't do it on your own. You can't draw down higher revelations from Aquarian information on your own. And you can't connect with the planetary hierarchy on your own. This now is the time for a group. So that's because that's how we create a harmonic convergence through all these cool people working together. And I can't think of anybody I'd rather draw down a member of the hierarchy with than use people. Okay, so uniting the sounding, the sacred word, it says, now this is going to tell us how to do it, kind of. This is one of the most usual methods and the most direct way of forming a funnel for the transmission of power. If it is so effective in the case of the individual, as has been again and again demonstrated, surely its united use will be tremendously effective and even dangerously potent. It is the loss of the use of this word that has crippled and hindered the efficiency of all the present exoteric faiths. But this loss has been deliberately brought about owing to the dangers incident to the low point of evolution of the human hierarchy. So humanity itself is called an hierarchy. In the Dark Ages, a lot of this knowledge was taken away.
Curtis, which book are you reading from right now?
Book of Curtis. No, this is the sounding Letters on Occult Meditation, page 65 to 66. And this is Letters on Occult Meditation, 194 to 195. when the use of this word is restored collectively, and when he talks about the word, he's not always clear whether it's the AUM or the OM. You have to use your own judgment and determine, is he trying to take you into experience or out of experience? We're going to use the AUM to create a group consciousness. We want to create something. And then we're going to use the OM to take that created group higher into spirit in just about a minute. Okay, so when the use of this word is restored collectively and when congregations of men and women can sound it correctly on the right note at the right cadence or rhythm, then the downflow of force from above, the quality of that force depending on key and tone, which is why I have a harmonica, will be such that the vilification of the microcosm will affect the surrounding country and environment. It will cause corresponding stimulation in all the kingdoms of nature, for the human kingdom forms a link between the higher and the lower, and in conjunction with the Deva kingdom, provides a meeting ground for the forces of life. We will presume that a congregation of people is desirous of linking up with that channel of force that works through the emotions and so stimulates a greater aspiration of love. In united silence, they will stand still and then they'll get the word, and then we'll create this vacuum, and then and in the vacuum will come something cool. This sound will create a necessary funnel, and the result will be an immense temporary extension of the peripheries of the emotional body of the participants and an intense vitalization of the heart centers. By means of this, the people will be enabled to reach heights and receive blessings otherwise not separately possible. You can, for yourself, think out other conditions. The use of the imagination in these matters is of real importance and develops a connection between that faculty and its higher counterpoint of intuition. Students of meditation must learn to imagine more.
Kurt, can I say something?
No.
Okay, no, you can't say anything.
Okay.
I was just sitting here thinking.
Your time's up.
What's really weird is, going back to gardening, is I'm around bees a lot. And bees make that sound, that humming sound.
The hum, yeah.
And I'm allergic to bees, and I have the EpiPens all over in my purse, and all over the house and everything, on my back porch. But that sound, that humming sound, is so soothing and so relaxing. And I work around the bees, you know, all the time, and they don't bother me or anything, and I just love that sound, and I work so close with the bees. And in the springtime, when our two flowering trees in the front are out, you know, in flower, then it's really loud in the front, and it's just so wonderful, and it's so loud. And, you know, then sitting here listening to this presentation, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, you know, I'm listening to the sound of God. And maybe that's why I like, you know, growing flowers so much is, you know, maybe it has something to do with the humming noise, you know. Mm-hmm. So anyway, it just is like giving me the chills, and I'm thinking, you know, it's the right thing to do, is, you know, the sound of bees, that humming sound.
Yeah, they do make a nice little hum.
It's that sound, that perfect sound.
There are certain trees that I stand under, because in my line of work I'm out of nature a lot like she is, and there will be like millions of bees, and you go and stand under it, you have no fear because they're not going to sting you. And you just stand there and listen to that hum.
Yeah, that hum.
And sometimes there are bumblebees. There are certain locust trees that attract bumblebees, and hundreds of them. And they create a slightly different sound than honeybees.
Right.
Now, wasps I'm not too keen on, Stan. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they don't sound really soothing.
No,
they don't.
They're not buzz, but
very, very different.
Yeah.
Yeah, they want you.
But that's, so in nature, and I talked about that earlier, where you want to be able, when you sound the higher tones, to connect with nature and all the kingdoms of nature, mineral kingdom, plant, animals, because you're one with everything that is. So that's the key. As we ascend out of the pits of hell and we reach that causal point, which is where the higher mental aspect of ourselves is, and the soul level, we can connect with everything.